This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Run Happy just keeps coming at him past the 16th pole. Run Happy, and boy, does this horse love to run. The aptly named Run Happy for Edgar Prado to take it.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adena Springs, Airdrie Stud, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
But there's no catching Wedding Toast. Wedding Toast, much the best here, all the way in the Beldame.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by our friends at Lane's End. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, alongside my usual entry mate here on the program. You know him as Pope Jude, or even the Pontiff of the Pick Four, and our voices resonating through a dense fog here in South Florida at Gulfstream Park this morning. Jude, it was described by one of the security personnel I talked to a short time ago as something out of a Stephen King movie. I don't think that's very far off.
When we left the hotel, it was very, very dense. You couldn't even see across the street. So it's clearing up a little bit now. The sun's peeking out. It's going to be a beautiful day here at Gulfstream.
Yeah, it's supposed to be in the mid-70s. It will be a welcome change from what we've seen here throughout the week. I referenced this earlier that you and I came down for Claiming Crown opening weekend in the beginning of December. We spent 3 days here at Gulfstream Park and never saw the sun. Well, I have been here since Sunday. I came in for the Owner View Conference and hosted a couple of panels there. I haven't seen the sun until this very moment. It has just popped out through the fog for the very first time in, what, 6 days of being here.
Yeah, no, it's been kind of gray. The only warmth really we've gotten is from the jalapeno-infused tequila in the Ten Palms Bar. But it's going to be gray today. And it was fun at the hotel to see all the guys that were staying over there that were going golfing this morning. They all had on their shorts. They were very optimistic. One guy kept saying over and over again, 0% chance of rain. So the course is going to be a little boggy, I'm sure. I think the turf course here will probably be on the softer side as well. But it's going to be a beautiful day in any case, and they're really doing the place up. They've got the blue and gold balloons going, and guys were planting flowers in the paddock this morning, so everything's in full swing. Everybody's going to have a great day here at Sunshine Millions.
And I think the turf course will appreciate the drink that it has received over the past several days. The main track, maybe not so much. They've actually closed training this morning so they can work on that track and get it ready, because as people who tuned in to Gulfstream Racing yesterday know, it was a sloppy track here, and hopefully they'll be able to get it all souped up and ready to go for this afternoon. Don't see any issues. It should be a fast main track and maybe a turf course, as you just alluded to, with a little bit of give to it.
Yeah, I think the main track's going to be in good shape. They actually sealed it during training hours yesterday, which a few trainers were upset by, but the guys that are running today are not going to be too upset about that situation, because I think it really helped keep the track in good shape, and it should be nice. They'll be working on it all morning, so good luck to everybody in the Sunshine Millions.
Yeah, and the reason we are here is because of that Sunshine Millions program, and, of course, the Eclipse Awards coming up tonight as well. So it's a gigantic day here at Gulfstream and throughout South Florida if you're a horse racing fan. But the Sunshine Millions races are ultra-competitive, very, very strong. It all culminates with the Sunshine Millions Classic with a purse of, what, $250,000. So it's going to be a great day. We're going to have that coverage for you this afternoon beginning at 3 o'clock Eastern time You can listen to us coast to coast and worldwide on SiriusXM satellite radio, and of course streaming worldwide on our website. All that information is available for you at horseracingradio.net, and all of that coverage is presented by our friends at Adina Springs.
Yeah, Adina Springs, Frank Stronach's farm, just always on board with us, and we really appreciate their support and the way we get treated here at Gulfstream.
Well, speaking of Adina Springs, Cormac Brennick is going to join us right after our first commercial break here in just about 5 or 6 minutes from right now. Cormac will tell us all about what's happening with the Adina Stallions as they get set to catapult into another breeding season there in Paris, Kentucky. We'll also get a chance to visit with trainer Safi Joseph, who is, as you would like to say, Jude, a Bayesian and native of Barbados, and looking forward to having him on board with us. He has one of the major players in today's classic.
Yeah, he's a really good trainer. He's been on a roll lately. It's taken him a few years to really take a hold here in South Florida, but he's starting to get better and better horses, and it'll be fun to talk to him about his entrant in the Millions Classic, Sarah Garo, and that's a very, very good race, a very deep, contentious race. Run with Bulls has been developing nicely, and Abounding Legacy, Mexicoma. There's lots of horses in there, lots of ways to go, and it's going to be fun to talk to Safi for a while.
Well, we are going to talk some Eclipse Awards as well. Jenny Reese, formerly with the Louisville Courier Journal, she is now retired, a freelancer. She has earned her fifth Eclipse Award. If these were rings that they gave out, she would now have one for the thumb. and congratulations to our good friend Jenny. We're going to talk to her about her feature on Dale Romans and his dyslexia, which was a great piece that she put together earlier this year. We'll talk to her about that and all the Eclipse Awards categories.
Yeah, Jenny's always great to talk to. She's got her finger on the pulse of racing, and she's a great lady and always a terrific interview, so looking forward to that.
And the final feature we'll bring your way this morning is one that you won't want to miss. It's going to come up toward the end of the program, probably right around 9:40, 9:45 Eastern time. Yesterday we had the opportunity to attend the Thoroughfan Awards Brunch, which was held at Frankie's Sports Bar right next to Gulfstream Park. Our very own Acacia Courtney, the little A, was the MC. She did a phenomenal job. But they honored both Bob Baffert and Tom Durkin, and both of those individuals were in attendance. Tom Durkin gave one of the greatest acceptance speeches for his award that I've ever heard. It was absolutely tremendous, and we're going to have that speech for you, courtesy of our friends at Thoroughfan, coming up later on today.
Yeah, it was almost theatrical in the way he presented it. It was fantastic, and you won't want to miss it. I tweeted out about it this morning to make sure everybody tunes in, because it's really worth listening to. It was a fantastic event. Thoroughfan did a great job. It's absolutely one of the best events of that type that I've ever been to, and really enjoyed being there. And it was really nice that both Bob and Tom, were there, made an appearance, signed autographs for the fans afterwards, and just a really, really nice event right here in Frankie's Sports Bar at Gulfstream Park.
And we'll remind you that as part of our coverage this afternoon on the Horse Racing Radio Network with the Sunshine Millions, leading up to the Sunshine Millions Classic, you can play the HRRN Betback at TwinSpires.com. And that is on the Sunshine Millions Classic. You can go to TwinSpires.com/HRRN right now, and you have up until post time for the Classic this afternoon to make your wager. It's a no-risk bet for you, so you might as well go do it. You bet $7 to win, $7 to show on one horse in today's Sunshine Millions Classic. If your horse comes into the first three, you're going to get paid. Well, guess what? If your horse finishes out of the first three and you lose your $14 bet, doesn't matter. Twin Spires will refund your entire wager, so you can't lose. It's no risk to you. Head over there right now, TwinSpires.com/HRRN, and play the HRRN Betback at TwinSpires.com. All right, we'll get to a break. When we come back, Cormac Brennick will kick things off for us. Very busy morning here at Gulfstream Park on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Adina Springs stallion Mucho Macho Man was a precocious 2-year-old, finishing runner-up in both the Grade 2 Nashua and Grade 2 Remsen, despite being a June 15th foal. As a three-year-old, Mucho Macho Man displayed his classic ability with an impressive win in the Grade 2 Risen Star before a game third-place finish in the Kentucky Derby. As an older horse, Mucho Macho Man dominated his competition with Grade 1 wins in the Awesome Again, Suburban, Gulfstream Park Handicap, and Breeders' Cup Classic.
Mucho Macho Man and Gary Stevens as they take the Grade 1 Awesome Again in effortless fashion.
Mucho Macho Man wins the 126 Suburban.
And Mucho Macho Man has won the Gulfstream Park Handicap.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
An earner of $5.6 million, Mucho Macho Man's first foals arrived this spring. Learn more by visiting adinastallions.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
A multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million. AlterNation reeled off four consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match stride with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires, grand appearance, and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of three Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March on Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com. Gulfstream Park's championship meet is in full stride, and this Saturday showcases six lucrative stakes as part of the popular Florida Sunshine Millions program. And remember to start your Saturday morning with breakfast at Gulfstream. Enjoy a delicious breakfast buffet while taking in the workouts of racing's top thoroughbreds. Plus, each day, you can take your shot at a huge score by playing popular wagers such as Pick Fours, the Super High Five, and the Rainbow Six. First post Saturday is 12:05. Visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Are you a believer?
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip retired sound following 32 lifetime starts, 23 of those coming in graded stakes, with nine buyer speed figures of 100 or better by the exciting young sire First Samurai and a half-brother to three other graded stakes winners, including Algorithms, Seeing is Believing, with Justin Phillip at Castleton Lions. Are you a believer? Hashtag Justin's Believers.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Three quarters win in 1, 10, and 2, and they're coming to the top of the stretch where Senior Kiskeano is trying to upset the field here. East Hall on the outside comes on. After that, it's Catholic Cowboy in third, Transparent is fourth, Final Furlong. Senior Kiskeano, East Hall on the outside, Catholic Cowboy between them. They're coming down to the line, and it's Senior Kiskeano and East Hall. Senior Kiskeano has won the Sunshine Millions Classic. East Hall was second, Catholic Cowboy was third, and Transparent was fourth.
Well, Senor Quisquiano just kept running and running and running last year and would not be denied in the Sunshine Millions Classic. He's back to defend his title later this afternoon. That race comes up at 5:05 Eastern. You will hear it exclusively with us right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All of our coverage this afternoon is presented by Adina Springs, as it has been for the past, four or five seasons now, and we can't thank them enough for their support of this coverage of the Sunshine Millions. You can catch it on Sirius 213, XM 203, and, of course, streaming on our website, horseracingradio.net. And, JT, it is a very contentious race in the Classic. It's a contentious day of racing, start to finish, really, when you look at all of the Sunshine Millions races.
Yeah, it's an excellent card here, and really looking forward to it. A lot of fun to handicap, and we have some great racing all over the country today, but there'll be plenty of eyes on the Sunshine Millions.
Yeah, going to be a very, very busy afternoon here at Gulfstream Park. One quick reminder, Gulfstream will host a first chance, last chance handicapping contest here tomorrow. It is your last opportunity to qualify for the NHC tournament, which comes up in Vegas later this month. So make sure you check that out. You can go to GulfstreamPark.com for details. And if you're going to be in the South Florida area, stop by and compete in that and try to win your way to Vegas.
Yeah, $400 the entry fee. It's $200 actually for the contest and $200 live bankroll. 10 races, $10 win in place on each race. So you only got one more shot. So if you want to go to Vegas for the championship and get that Eclipse Award, you got to enter tomorrow.
Yeah. Cormac Brennick is with Adina Springs. And as I mentioned, all of our coverage of the Sunshine Millions today presented by Adina. They are in Paris, Kentucky. They have a farm in Canada, a farm here in Florida. And Cormac, that keeps you very, very busy. And we can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes to be with us this morning.
Yes, it does, guys. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Things are good. Happy to have you on board, and thanks for all your support of what we're doing here this afternoon. It's been a fun ride the past four or five seasons here to have Adina on board for this coverage. And, of course, the Stronach Group involved not just with Gulfstream Park, but Frank Stronach, the owner of Adina Springs. So it ties together beautifully, and I know you're going to be looking forward to the races today and looking forward to this upcoming breeding season.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a busy time of year for a lot of us in the Stronach Group, with the racetracks in Saint Denis and Gulfstream in full flow, and obviously with what I do with the stallions at Adina, it's peak season, but things are going very well, thankfully.
You know, you have a stallion that we mention quite often when we run the commercials for him here on the show, and that's Mucho Macho Man, Breeders' Cup Classic winner. I had a chance to spend some time this past week with his owners, Patty and Dean Reeves, and just the nicest people in the game. They are true ambassadors for the sport of racing, working very hard to get a racetrack in the state of Georgia and get parimutuel wagering in the state of Georgia. And they couldn't be more proud of your stallion, Mucho Macho Man.
Yeah, that's well said. You know, they are great ambassadors for the game. They really just got off to a great start with their horse racing interests with a horse like him. And, you know, the story how they came to be his majority owners and then his outright owners and still partners in him as a stallion. You know, he's kind of a unique horse, having been a June 15th foal. He was such a good two-year-old. He was multiple graded stakes horse as a two-year-old behind To Honor and Serve in the Nashua and the Remsen. Then he ran in all three legs of the Triple Crown before he actually turned 3 years of age in reality. And then he was a dominant older horse and won the Breeders' Cup Classic. And I remember him winning the Sunshine Millions Classic by about 14 lengths in a hand ride, you know, I think as a six-year-old in his comeback race that year. So, you know, it's a great horse to have with us at stud and here in over $5.5 million, and not many horses can say that.
He was such a beautiful horse, and Mike and I were actually able to see him early on in his three-year-old year, and he looked like a little kid, and it was so great to watch him develop. And when he ran in the Breeders' Cup Classic the first time, I couldn't believe the difference from the basically, you know, young teenage boy that I took a picture of when we were first here in January to where he, you know, blossomed into this magnificent looking animal. I mean, just a really gorgeous horse and such a competitor, such an athlete.
Yeah, that's true. And you should see him now after a year in the
Yeah, I bet you he looks even better.
Yeah, he's really basically 17 hands tall and just has a great shoulder and a lot of depth, and he's very athletic horse, very balanced and sort of light on his feet for his size, and you know, had to just built to have that huge, tremendous stride that he had. So, yeah, he's a really cool individual.
What kind of mares has he been getting?
You know, with making a stallion early on, it's nice to keep sort of a diverse book of mares. You don't want to sort of assume you think what's going to work and then pigeonhole them in case something doesn't work out as planned, because it's, you know, it's a game of chess versus Mother Nature, right? So,
right.
You know, we like to see a variety of bloodlines in the, or sire lines in the mares coming to him, and that's kind of what you get in most cases unless you're really targeting a group. Having said that, you know, I think he's going to take a lot after his sire Macho Uno and work with a lot of, you know, act largely as an outcross stallion, which he is in most ways. You know, he's got a couple of lines of Mr. Prospector, but they're fairly distant. One very distant line of Northern Dancer, and obviously the Holy Bull sire line. So I think, like Macho Uno, he'll work very well with Northern Dancer line mares, sort of the typier mares, you know, Stormcat line and things like that. He'll probably do really well with Wild Again and Buck Passer and some of those other influences that have worked so well with Macho Uno, because he doesn't carry them himself. So, you know, time will tell, but we'll try to keep, you know, as many different types of things coming his way. You know, obviously Seattle Slough and AP Indy should be strong too with him. So, you know, we'll just kind of keep an open mind and it'll make itself known in due course.
Visiting with Cormac Brennick from Medina Springs. And, of course, Mucho Macho Man, one of the stars of that stallion roster right now. Another horse that I find very interesting, Cormac, is a son of Dynaformer. He's a five-time Grade 1 winner. He was trained by Hall of Famer Shug McGahee, and that is Point of Entry, because you talk about a striking-looking horse with an unbelievable pedigree. Well, it's all about Point of Entry.
That's true, and, you know, I just tell people that he's my guy. You know, I'm very excited about him, what he offers. You know, when we got him to, you know, when Frank Stronach stepped up and bought him while he was still in training, you know, I couldn't have been more excited. It was like Christmas morning when he arrived at the farm as a stallion prospect. He's an absolute specimen, and he's just got so much quality. He's out of a Seeking the Gold mare. He's a very pretty, very tall, very striking Dynaformer, and as you said, just has an extremely deep, strong pedigree back to Maple Jinsky and Sky Beauty before that, his third and fourth dams. His first four dams are either Grade 1 winners or Grade 1 producers in their own right. So it's just a stacked pedigree. And he had great speed.
Maybe one of the best-looking Dynaformers, maybe the best-looking Dynaformer of all time. Plus, his race record was impeccable. I mean, talk about a horse that showed what he could do on the racetrack. I mean, the whole package, really.
Right. Yeah, you know, down there at Gulfstream against Animal Kingdom in that mile and eighth Grade 1 turf handicap, you know, going into the race, people thought, well, it might be a little sharp for Point of Entry and it might suit Animal Kingdom better, but he had to go three wide the whole way and closed in 56-1 to beat him on the square. So that showed, you know, just a real classic turn of foot, you know, what you want to see in a turf horse, and we're very proud of that.
Well, you certainly should be. And another stallion I know you're very proud of is the veteran, Awesome Again.
Yeah, he needs no introduction, does he? I'm looking forward to this year with you know, another wave of three-year-olds coming. You know, Awesome Speed looks like a very good horse for Colt's Neck. I know that Live Oak, rightly so, are very excited about Awesome Slough, who's back on the work tab. He took a break after running in I think it was the special at Saratoga. But he's coming back strong, and they really like what he can do. You know, he's got five or six other really highly touted three-year-olds, actually mostly colts this year, it looks like, but some fillies like Butterfly Dance for Samson. So he's loaded again, and you know, we've seen what he can do before. I think he'll have a repeat performance this year with a few of these.
Cormac Brennick with Adina Springs here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Cormac, who else should folks look for when they check out that Adina stallion roster and look at breeding their mares for 2016?
Well, we're fortunate in the roster that Frank has put together. We have five right now in Kentucky, and they're all multiple Grade 1 winning multimillionaires, and, you know, four Breeders' Cup winners, and Point of Entry was a Breeders' Cup runner-up. So I feel like we have a horses at different ages and with slightly different bloodlines and things that offer a lot of alternatives. So the other two we didn't talk about are Macho Uno, who is another horse that's been around a while and keeps getting it done with Private Zone and, of course, Mucho Macho Man and others. And Ghost Zapper, who's, you know, our most popular horse right now. We're pretty tight on his book, but we're in a good spot and still accepting some select mares and putting together some package deals and things with other stallions. So, you know, it's a great roster and real privilege to be part of the, you know, play a small role, part of the small role, you know, in these horses' success.
Well, I'm so glad you brought up Ghost Zapper, because he's a horse that I just loved when he was on the racetrack. And, you know, nobody will ever forget that Breeders' Cup Classic victory, but they'll remember him for that one because he was so brilliant. But, Cormac, there were so many races in which Ghost Zapper showed that brilliance, and a lot of his offspring have displayed that very same brilliance.
They have. I think, you know, it's very hard to distill down what his success is, what it's down to, but, you know, I think versatility is really one of his hallmark characteristics. He ranks in the top 10 sires by a number of stakes winners from 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9, and 9 to 10 furlongs. And no other stallion does that. You know, they run at 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 years of age on dirt primarily, but also on turf or on the remaining synthetic tracks, colts or fillies. It just doesn't really matter. You know, they have real ability, and you know, he's kind of firing on all cylinders right now. Had a huge January sale with, you know, being the covering sire of the sale-topping mare, a $230,000 yearling, and then came out this week with Bill Oppenheim's Apex ratings in the TDN, where he's one of the best, couple of the best stallions in the world. So, you know, it's all there now on the record as how good he is, and it's just very exciting for us now to realize the support that we've been getting from all of the top breeders. You know, they're calling us to breed to them, and we couldn't be in a better position.
You know, people may not realize that Adina Springs' relationship with the thoroughbred industry goes back, what, 5 decades? And in each of those decades, it seems as if Adina Springs is among the leaders, if not the leader, in terms of breeding, even in terms of racing, whatever it might be. Cormac, what's the key to that longevity and that continued success at Adina?
That would be Frank and his passion. I mean, he just lives and breathes this industry, and I can't really even relate to the amount of time he puts into it, the amount of thought he puts into it from every angle, whether it's making racetracks a success or which stallion am I going to breed this mare to, or will I buy this mare or not. He's so fully vested in it at every level, and you know, he drives it, and all of us that work for him try to make the most out of the piece that we're responsible for, but really it's, you know, it comes down to him in every way.
Yeah, he's a very hands-on guy. I mean, you see that around the racetrack. You see that at the sales. He you know, he shows up. He doesn't necessarily send his representatives, although I'm sure there's sometimes
right.
He has to. But even at his age, he is an amazing guy that really is hands-on at every facet of every business that he's involved in.
That's true. And you know, he sees everything and just watches everything and makes it all better by virtue of being there and being a part of it. Yeah, he wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, how many times have we talked about this, Jude, with the new Gulfstream? And it's been here a while now, but as compared to what the Gulfstream Park was before Frank came in and demolished it and then rebuilt this, which is really a palace now. It's very, very nice. When we first started coming here, what, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, we hated it. We did not like
right.
anything about it. We didn't like the thought of the shops being next to it. It looked like just a big construction site. You couldn't tell there was racing here. Now to see the whole vision come together and Frank's idea of what this place could be is now successful and highly successful, it's awesome.
It yeah, really no, it's a great concept, and it works. I always tell the story about 5 years ago when I was walking over from the hotel and this guy and his wife get out of the car and they were going shopping, and he goes, oh, I think maybe the Florida Derby is today. And I couldn't help but, you know, pipe in. I go, yeah, it actually is today. It's going to be great, you know. And he says to his wife, okay, well, we'll go shopping for a while, but I want to be there for the Florida Derby. Well, to me, that was like Frank Stronach's vision incarnate right there. I mean, that's what he wanted. He wanted people to, you know, maybe go shopping and come over to the racetrack, see what's going on, you know, get involved in the sport. And that, to me, you know, really stood out as, you know, just everything coming together. And we love coming down here. It's a great spot. And, you know, we encourage people to come down and have a good time. You can't not have a good time here. There's action at the track all day and all night. There's always something going on at Gulfstream Park, and it's just fabulous.
Yeah, I was down there last year for the Phasic sale, and I can't wait to go back. It was my first time there in a few years, and, you know, it's just amazing, the finished product, all of the options there. And there's always a crowd, you know, through that breezeway from the paddock and out onto the apron. It's always a crowd of, you know, just a varied mix of people who are kind of passing through, may have been, like you said, to the stores or are now having a bet or going in and out of the casino or just watching the horses. It's just a great atmosphere.
Well, Cormac Brennick, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion by going to embracetherace.com, and we highly recommend doing that. It is all of the offerings at Embrace the Race are simply spectacular, so check it out at embracetherace.com, and Cormac will get that to you. And, of course, really do appreciate all your support of our coverage coming up this afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern time here on the network. It's all presented by Adina Springs, and keep it rolling out there, my friend.
I will. I'll do my best. Thanks very much, guys. Have a good day down there.
All right, you too.
We will. Of course, you can go to AdinaStallions.com to learn more about all of those stallions that we just talked about. And, boy, they are pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's a heck of a roster.
Imagine that.
It's just unbelievable.
We didn't even touch on the stallions that are here in Florida and up in Canada.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you look here at Florida, you got the likes of Fort Larned standing down here in Florida.
Yeah.
Breeders' Cup Classic winner.
All right. Well, look at a horse like Gosapper and all his success. He's one of those horses, like when you're handicapping, you see his name and you circle it because you figure that horse can run, whether it's a first-time starter or whatever. I mean, you gotta respect the Gosapper. And he's just an amazing stallion. And really looking forward to seeing Mucho Macho Man's babies. And now I might have to make a trip to Adina to go visit him.
Yeah. Well, we're expecting to be joined by trainer Safi Joseph in just a few minutes, but it is time for your weekly Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington. And look, I tell you, every week I've been telling you for about 12 years now on this program that if you are in the market for a new vehicle, a pre-owned vehicle, and you're in the horse business, there is only one place to go. It is the Lexus store of Lexington. They're on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. They support the horse industry. They're the sponsors of the Lexus Raven Run out at Keeneland every single year. And they have a Keeneland shop right there at the Lexus store. So you can do some shopping while you're there as well. Pick up something for the horse racing fan on your list. It's all there at the Lexus store of Lexington. You go see the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great people, and you tell them that the Baron sent you in and told you to say hello.
Bred by Stephen Peskoff in Ireland, Black Tie Affair failed to bring his reserve at the 1986 Keeneland November sale. But the following year, he was sold for $85,000 at the Phasic Tipton Saratoga Yearling Sale. The Gray Colt began his career under the tutelage of Walter C. Reese. As a juvenile in 1988, racing in the colors of Hudson River Farm, he captured the Malice Stakes at Philadelphia Park and was narrowly beaten in the Allegheny Stakes and Deputy Minister Stakes. During the spring of his three-year-old campaign, Black Tie Affair was purchased by Jeffrey Sullivan and transferred to trainer Ernie Poulos, for whom he would eventually become a champion. Successful in the bold favorite handicap at Sportsman's Park in his debut for Poulos, he later added the Grade 3 Sheridan at Arlington Park to his resume. Black Tie Affair concluded 1989 in the Breeders' Cup Sprint at Gulfstream Park, where he had a very rough trip before being promoted to eighth via disqualification. Black Tie Affair stayed in one-turn events for most of his four-year-old season, with his highlights including victories in the Grade 3 Commonwealth at Keeneland, the Grade 3 Equipoise Mile at Arlington Park, and a rallying third in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint at Belmont. He then stretched out to a mile and a quarter for the Grade 2 Hawthorne Gold Cup and wired the field in a foreshadowing of things to come. His 1991 Horse of the Year campaign started off with a third-place effort in the Grade 2 Razorback Handicap at Oaklawn Park. But Black Tie Affair bounced back to defend his title in the 7-furlong Commonwealth, defeating two-time sprint champion Housebuster in the process. Housebuster turned the tables in the Grade 1 Carter Handicap, where Black Tie Affair finished second. After running ninth in the Grade 1 Metropolitan Handicap, he stretched out in the Grade 3 Stephen Foster at Churchill Downs and never lost again. In his next start, Black Tie Affair rolled by 2.5 lengths in the Grade 2 Michigan Mile and 1/8 Handicap at Detroit Racecourse, then romped by 3.5 lengths in the Grade 3 Cornhusker at Axar Bend. He outdueled multiple Grade 1 winner Farmaway in the Grade 1 Philip Eisland at Monmouth and routed the previous year's Preakness victor, Summer Squall, by 7.5 lengths in the Grade 2 Washington Park Handicap at Arlington. For the third consecutive year, Black Tie Affair was headed to the Breeders' Cup, but this time he was classic bound with a championship on the line. Using his mount's tremendous speed to his advantage, jockey Jerry Bailey had Black Tie Affair cruising through the early part of the race on a comfortable lead, and his gritty determination took over from there, repelling a challenge from Twilight Agenda in the stretch, while leaving Kentucky Derby winners Unbridled and Strike the Gold, as well as once juvenile champion Fly So Free, in his wake, as he hit the wire a length and a quarter in front. At the end of the season, Black Tie Affair was honored as Horse of the Year, as well as Champion Older Male. He retired on a high note with $3,370,694 in earnings and 18 victories in 45 starts, including 13 stakes wins and 12 stakes placings. At stud, Black Tie Affair sired the multiple Grade 1 Millionaire Formal Gold, 2002 Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup winner Evening Attire, who banked nearly $3 million before retiring at age 10, Millionaire License Fee, Brazilian Champion Filly Mai Tai, and multiple Japanese stakes winner Washington Color. He has become an influential broodmare sire as well. Living out his days at Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Facility in Georgetown, Kentucky, Laminatus claimed his life at age 24. A class act to the very end, Black Tie Affair was truly a legend of the turf.
And that is your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment for this morning. We're back to visit with trainer Safi Joseph right after this short break.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Pin Oak Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track, Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Pin Oak Stud.
The fun never ends at Sam Houston Race Park. Saturday, January 30th, don't miss the richest race in Texas with the newly graded $400,000 Grade 3 Houston Ladies Classic. The Houston Racing Festival also features the $200,000 Grade 3 Connolly Turf Cup, Frontier Utilities Turf Sprint, and Space City Stakes with a low 12% takeout. Watch, wager, and win at Sam Houston Race Park. Platinum Partners Bud Light, Sam Houston Race Park. Buy your tickets at shrp.com today.
Flatter, a graded son of AP Indy, continues to rank among leading sires. The sire of graded stakes horses in every crop, he consistently has runners at the highest level.
Upstart is pulling away to win the Holy Bowl.
But a very stylish performance from Terrace.
Kobe's back is back. Wins it for Gary Stevens.
Powerful on the track and fashionable in the sales room. Flatter is from a top sire family. Flatter at Claiborne Farm.
Cara Conti, from the immediate family of champion sire King Mambo, winner of the Group 1 Grand Criterium at 2, Cara Conti captured the Sire Making French 2000 Guineas. A Breeders' Cup Mile winner in 132 and 4/5, Cara Conti posted the highest turf buyer of the year.
Cara Conti with a rush on the outside goes by him! Cara Conti at O'Donnell! Cara Conti!
Cara Conti, standing at Gainesway.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy.
It provides property coverage for the home and contents and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe. Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce Summer Front for the 2016 breeding season.
Summer Front! And Joe Bravo have won.
A multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by the Great War Front, Summer Front began his career as an undefeated multiple stakes winner at 2 before going on to win graded stakes at 3, 4, and 5. Boasting a top-class pedigree and the jaw-dropping looks that made him a $475,000 sales horse. The explosiveness, the looks, and the pedigree to be a truly important sire. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Saraguaro hard-ridden by Eddie Castro, but gaining on Nauset Beach, who just took the lead. From third and Southern Barbecue, put to the whip by, on the outside, Jeffrey Sanchez. Then comes Aces for John. They're at the top of the stretch. Saraguaro into the stretch drive on a 2.5-length lead. Nauset Beach is trying to come back from second, and he is coming back. Here's Nauset Beach back at Saraguaro, who's trying to hold firm. Through the final 16th, Saraguaro with the lead. Nauset Beach drifting, trying to come again. Nauset Beach at Saraguaro. Saraguaro, the winner. Nauset Beach second, Southern Barbecue third, and fourth was Aces for John in 145-3.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, you know him as the Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are with you in Hallandale Beach, Florida, Gulfstream Park, getting ready for our coverage of the Sunshine Millions this afternoon. Saraguaro, the winner of the Sunshine Millions Classic Preview at Gulfstream Park West on November 7th, is one of the major players in the Classic later today. And, of course, that exclusive coverage kicking off 3 o'clock Eastern Time. You can tune in throughout North America on Sirius XM satellite radio. That's Sirius 213, XM 203. And, as always, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. And, JT, listeners in more than 160 countries made the Horse Racing Radio Network their home for racing coverage last year, and we are going international with our next guest here today.
Absolutely. A man from my adopted home country.
Barbados.
That's right.
Bajan, as we say, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Safi Joseph, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome, man. And looking forward to seeing Saraguaro go to the post later this afternoon. And no training today. It was a sloppy track yesterday. They're kind of working on that track, and Saraguaro going to go maybe on a track that might have a little moisture in it today?
That's a bit of a concern for us, the track. Like, he ran actually on one day in one of the Stallion Stakes preps races, and he ran dead last that day, and we couldn't come up with an excuse. We didn't know if the track was, the moisture was drying out that day, and we don't know if it was the 7/8 was too short for him, but that was a really disappointing day. After that, everything's gone smooth, so the track today is a concern.
Well, he does have a third on a sloppy track going a mile. This race is a mile and an eighth. That's probably going to help him, too. His last two races have just been sparkling. I mean, he really has started to develop for you and run triple-digit Brisnet speed figures in his last two. How did that come about?
Well, we've always thought a lot of him. And he was last year in the winter meet, he ran a good second behind Danzig Moon. In the race before that, it was the first time he put blinkers on him, and he really woke up. He was traveling really good in the race, and a horse fell in front of him. He fell over that horse. Made for Lucky won that race, and Paco that day, I mean, it was early in the race, but he came back, and he thought he was going to win that race that day. So the blinkers have been, like, the main thing that have woke him up and made him live up to his potential.
Yeah, it certainly has. And, of course, he's been
He's been reunited or united with jockey Eddie Castro, who's been aboard for both of those efforts last time and the time before when they were so impressive. Talk about that relationship. Why is Eddie such a good fit for this horse?
Since we've put Eddie on him, he's given him two perfect trips, put him in the right spot, and he's a horse that takes a bit of riding. And Eddie's done nothing short of marvelous on him. He's two times we've ridden him, and it's worked out perfect, and hopefully today the third time will be the same.
Other than running faster than the other horses and finishing in front of them at the finish line today, what's the key to this horse taking care of business and getting the victory in the Classic?
I think the break is important. Obviously, a short run to the first turn, and if he could get away there cleanly and get in a good spot, lay four for fifth, and down the backside, I'll be very happy.
It's got a nice post, huh? That'll help a little bit.
I think going a mile and eighth with that short run, you need an inside post. If you're drawing 8, 9, 10, that's not ideal.
You started training here in the United States in around mid-2011, I guess, right? It was your first year here. You saddled nearly 70 winners here in the States. You had many more in Barbados, including a Triple Crown winner, you were telling me.
Yes, we're fortunate in Barbados to have a really nice horse named Are You Talking to Me. He won the Triple Crown over there. Probably one of the best local breds ever over there.
Have you talked any smack with Baffert since he's been here about winning a Triple Crown? I did it before him.
I've never met Baffert. But he obviously.
Oh, we'll have to change that.
That's great. Safi Joseph here on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane Zen on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Talk a little bit about yourself, Safi, and tell us a little bit about how you got started in the game and then coming over here to the States in 2011, that adjustment that you must have had to make.
Well, basically, my family's been in racing their whole life, and this is the only thing, like, the feeling of winning and just being around the horses daily, like, is second to none. I always tell some, like, my friends are not in racing, some of them think it's boring, and I tell them, when you get a horse and you win, there's no, like, bigger or higher or better feeling in the world, basically. Like, it's a horse racing gives you that feeling that it just gives you chills through your body, and especially when a plan comes together and it works out, it's the ultimate high, like.
Yeah, it's and in Barbados, it's such a important part of life there because it's such a small island, and people really love their racing. They can't wait. They race every other Saturday, and people can't wait to go. And it's such a beautiful sport there. The owners take such pride because there's not a lot of money in it. You're racing mainly for pride and pictures and trophies, you know, because the purses aren't that great. But what a great way to have an appreciation for the game before you came here, where the purse money's better and you actually have a chance to make a profit.
Yeah, correct. In Barbados, the purses aren't good, and most people just race for the pride, and that's how racing was back in the day. Everyone raced. It wasn't about the purse. It was about taking care of the horse and racing for the pride, and it's who beat who. And actually, people don't think of Barbados, but Barbados produces good horsemen, even from the grooms up. Like, just the quality of horsemen handling horses is a pretty good level.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mark Cassie, well, most of his help is from Barbados, and you know, we've had great jockeys come from there, Patrick Husbands being probably the most notable, but and then Sir Michael Stout, you
yes.
know. These are international guys that are really, really good horsemen, and now we have Safi Joseph.
What was the total purse money when you won the Triple Crown in Barbados?
Well, I mean, all three races?
Oh, yeah, combined, do you remember?
It was probably less than 150,000 U.S.
Yeah,
because
those races, like, if they're 100,000 Barbados, they're 50,000 U.S.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the Barbados dollar is tied to the U.S. dollar. It's 2-1.
Right.
So, yeah, if you win 300 granders, you're probably getting about, a 150.
Like, that horse, he probably ended up with Barbados earnings, like, 400 and something thousand. That's only 200 and something thousand U.S. Like, normally, there was normally a bonus to win the Triple Crown, which was like 50,000 U.S., but that year they took it off.
Of course.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure they did.
Why not?
But there have only been six winners in like 100 years of racing of the Triple Crown, you know what I mean? So it's, although it's, maybe not as big as obviously not as America. It's still a hard thing to achieve.
Absolutely,
the right horse.
And it's you know, racing has been in Barbados since the 1700s, and it's a great spectacle. And I always encourage people to go. You know, when people are saying they're looking for a place to go on vacation, I go, well, there's really only one place to go.
Yeah. Well, and look at what Ken Ramsey's going to try and do when he goes back down there for this year's Gold Cup. He's going to try and win it for the third consecutive year. That's never been done before. How, put that in perspective, Safi, as a native of Barbados, how huge is that accomplishment?
For the tourism, it's huge. For racing, it's huge. For the horsemen that are racing there, I'm not sure you feel too good having to compete against them. You know? But for the tourism and the attractive that Mr. Ramsey brings to Barbados, it's huge. Like, it's second to none. Like, it gets so much spotlight. And I think he and, like, just for a race that's like the Gold Cup, the money's only $100,000 to purse, but just the feeling of winning it, I think that's what makes him continue going back. And also Eugene Melnick, he's a billionaire and he raced horses in America, won Grade One races, and he wanted to win the Gold Cup more than anything.
Yeah, yeah. How would you describe the Safi Joseph training philosophy and your approach to training horses?
I think our key is taking care of the horse and being hands-on and, like, treating each horse as an individual. And most of the time, you take care of a horse good, they're going to take care of you.
Well, that's the name of the game. Keep them smiling. Yeah. Happy horse.
How many horses do you have now?
Right now, we got 8, but normally we're between 12 to 15.
What's the ideal number?
The ideal number is to have good quality horses.
You're better off with 12 good ones than 50 bad ones.
Yeah.
And it's that, I mean, you need to kind of, coming from Barbados, it's kind of hard to, like, just start up. But obviously you get a horse like Sarah Guerra and he gets you in the spotlight. That's when more owners realize, well, hey, this guy can train a horse or he can take care of a horse and keep him on the roll.
Well, your horses always look good, they run good, and a lot of times they pay good. So you've always been one of my favorites on the tour.
Thanks.
How'd you get into racing? Were your parents involved? Or?
My dad was a trainer. Was a trainer, and his dad was an owner. My dad trained basically from he was 18 and up. So he trained like for 30, 40 years. And he's up here now. Whenever he's up from a Barbados, he's always at the barn. He loves it. Like, we argue between each other and we share our opinions, but I've learned a lot from him, and he was a very good trainer. He did very good.
Yeah. Does he try to tell you what to do when he's around, or do you have to kind of keep it?
We share opinions we constantly, but I think that's what makes us get better, and it's always two opinions that on each horse, and we go over it, and then we sit down and we decide what to do, you know what I mean?
Did your dad ever win the Triple Crown?
No, he never won the Triple Crown. He came close. He won 2 legs.
So I'm sure you remind him of that, too.
Every day.
That's great.
Visiting with trainer Safi Joseph here on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, of course, Safi, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at Embrace the Race. .com. So, Safi, what does the future hold here for Safi Joseph? Take us through and look ahead. What are some of the goals that you're looking to accomplish in the coming years?
The future is to win the Triple Crown in America and to be one of the best, if not the best.
That's fantastic. Wouldn't that be great? Win the Triple Crown in Barbados and win the Triple Crown in the United States?
Yeah, talk about unprecedented.
obviously, it's a high goal, but you have to reach for the stars, you know? And there's no doubt, I believe in my team's ability. I believe in my ability. Like, there's no doubt about ability. You just need to get the right horse, and obviously you need the right owners to support you.
Have there been other trainers since you've come to the States, or maybe an owner, somebody, an individual that has kind of helped you along the way since you came here in 2011?
Well, the first owner from most of the horses we own ourselves, but the first owner from Barbados, Sir David Seal, he's actually the winningest owner in the Gold Cup. I think he's won like 6 or 7 Gold Cups. And he's had a couple of horses with me occasionally, since I've been here.
He owns a rum distillery. I do know.
Yeah.
Sir David Seal. He owns a rum distillery. Makes some of the best rum in the world. We need to go down there. I wish Mr. Ramsey'd pony up and let us do the show from there.
Put us on the private jet. Yeah.
I'll organize it. I'll just cover this.
Do you have a private jet?
No, not the private jet.
We only fly private jets. We're going to Barbados.
Yeah, we'd take a train if they could get one there.
Well, Safi, good luck this afternoon. Really do appreciate you spending a little time with us. We're going to preview this right now. We're going to have you join us for a full hour on our Wednesday night trainer talk show, which is all presented by Fasig Tipton. We'll do that here in the coming weeks. We're going to be down here starting February 6th for the Don Handicap for 9 consecutive weeks. We'll be doing all of our shows here at Gulfstream for our Saturdays at Gulfstream series. So we'll get a chance to sit down in person and learn a little bit more about you and your background.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Oh, by the way, you know how I've always told you that as a big Steeler fan, I always wanted Polamalu hair?
Yeah.
Right? Now I want Safi Joseph hair. This guy rivals Polamalu. I love it. Great stuff.
Thanks for having me a lot.
Thanks, buddy. Safi, we appreciate it. Safi Joseph here on the Equine Forum. We're going to get to another break. We'll come back and get you set for hour number two. We'll tell you all about it next here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events. I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Introducing the Spendthrift for 2016 Palace, the multiple Grade 1 winning millionaire and fastest son of leading sire CityZip. Palace proved to be a leading sprinter in North America in 2014 and 2015, winning such New York staples as the Grade 1 Forgo Stakes, Grade 1 Vanderbilt Stakes, and Grade 2 True North Stakes. Palace is set to retire at season's end to Spendthrift. For more information on Palace, call us toll-free at 888-816-8787. That's 888-816-8787.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
Don't miss the Florida Sunshine Millions, live from Gulfstream Park, later today, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern. Mike Penna and Jude Feld will broadcast live from Trackside and bring you all the races on the Sunshine Millions card. Exclusive coverage of the Sunshine Millions on the Horse Racing Radio Network is presented by Adena Springs. Go to horseracingradio.net for channel information or to listen live.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
Back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End, getting set for hour number two.
If you did miss any portion of the first half of the program, just head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. A podcast will be available for you shortly after we finish up at 10 o'clock Eastern Time, but only finishing up with this Equine Forum show this morning because we're back with you at 3 o'clock Eastern Time for our exclusive coverage of the Sunshine Millions, all presented by Adina Springs, 3 to 5:30 Eastern Time on Sirius 213 and XM 203. Keep that in mind for those of you tuning in right now. You are going to have to switch channels at 3 o'clock Eastern Time to hear the Sunshine Millions, Sirius 213, XM 203, and of course, always streaming worldwide on our website, which you can access on your smartphone, your tablet, or your computer right there at horseracingradio.net. Jenny Reese is set to join us in just a couple of minutes. Looking forward to visiting with the five-time Eclipse Award winner. Then you're going to hear the speech given by retired track announcer Tom Durkin at yesterday's Thoroughfan Brunch, which was hosted here at Frankie's Sports Bar. It is one of the greatest acceptance speeches you might ever hear. So stay tuned for that. It comes your way right around 9:40 Eastern Time. And Jude, we had so much fun at the brunch yesterday. And not only was Tom Durkin brilliant, but Bob Baffert spoke before him. And the Triple Crown winner is always great theater when he steps to the podium.
Yeah, I know. Both guys did a great job. And it was a fantastic event. And we really enjoyed it. It was something that everybody should get involved in. And you can join Thoroughfan for a mere $25 and be a card-carrying member, as they say.
So yeah.
You should look into it at thoroughfan.com.
Couple of quick reminders before we segue into hour number two and Jenny Reese. First of all, don't forget that Tonalist, Mr. Speaker, Honor Code, and Liam's Map reinforce the power of the Lane's End Stallions. This 2016 roster builds on Lane's End's legacies, AP Indy, King Mambo, and Smart Strike. As the new crop joins the ranks of current standing stallions, Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, Mineshaft, The Factor, Union Rags, Noble Mission, and City Zip. The successful tradition of the 13-time leading stud farm continues, and it continues at Lane's End. You can visit lanesend.com to learn more. And we've told you for weeks that all of our broadcasts when we're on location are powered by Verizon, and one of the greatest things about having a smartphone is that you can pretty much do anything from anywhere. Well, you can do all your banking from a smartphone, you can make reservations at a restaurant on your smartphone, and even make last-minute travel reservations. And Verizon, with their largest 4G LTE network, will help you by making sure you are always connected. Go to the nearest Verizon store for more details or visit Verizon.com. We're back.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
The 37-year wait is over! American Pharoah is finally the one! American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown!
Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by six. Rachel Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Stop Charging Maria, short lead. Stellar Wind is fighting on. Stop Charging Maria just keeps battling back. Stop Charging Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, positioned just above the walking ring here at Gulfstream Park, where the fog has lifted. The sun is now in abundance, barely even a cloud in the sky here under those powder blue skies, and looking forward to an outstanding day of racing with the Sunshine Millions. Our coverage kicking off 3 o'clock Eastern Time, presented by Adina Springs. And JT, it's awful nice to see the sunshine here in the Sunshine State.
Oh, I'm so excited. It's the first bit of sun we've seen in two trips.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been about 8 days of being in South Florida without seeing the sun. So this is a welcome sight, and looking forward to what's going to be a great day of racing here at Gulfstream. It all culminates with the Sunshine Millions Classic, which is set for right around 5:05 Eastern. And we're looking forward to bringing you our coverage, as I mentioned, kicking off at 3 o'clock. Well, this is also home to the Eclipse Awards here at Gulfstream, and that ceremony taking place this evening in the Sportive Kings Lounge. It's going to be a really special evening for our next guest, who is retired Courier-Journal employee, the one of the best turf riders that's ever done that job. She is Jenny Reese, and she will accept her fifth Eclipse Award later on tonight. Jenny, first of all, congratulations, and as always, a delight to have you with us here on the program.
Well, Mike, it's great being here. That was sure a surprise. This one kind of came out of the blue, and being the last year I working for the Courier-Journal, it was really special. I mean, it's just been a really magical year. Let's start and start and stop with the Triple Crown. Finally, I got to cover a Triple Crown winner. Although I got to see, you're kind of annoying me wearing that Steelers hat and our Bengals. I love you, Mike.
Hey, where are the Bengals watching the games today?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. That was about the nastiest experience I've ever had in an NFL stadium, by the way. My wife and I were probably lucky to get out of there alive.
You told me that, and that's awful.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah, it was completely classless.
Yeah, people, you know, you can cheer for your team, but let's all show class.
It's a football game. It's a football game. When we really break it all down, right? I want the Steelers to win more than anybody, but it's a football game.
Yeah.
Right? In the grand scheme of things, it means nothing.
People get testy. I don't understand that.
Yeah. By the way, I'm off to Denver tomorrow, in case you're wondering. I fly from Florida to Denver to make sure I'm waving the terrible towel.
You rock.
In Denver. How sick am I?
Oh, extremely so.
Well, look, let's talk about you for a minute here in this Eclipse Award. I mentioned to Jude earlier that if they had given rings for an Eclipse Award, you would now have one for the thumb with that fifth one. But this, as you said, came out of the blue. Tell us about the piece. It was on Dale Romans and his dyslexia, which most people had no idea.
Yeah, interesting. I got a text from Butch Lair, the longtime track superintendent at Churchill Downs, who retired a couple years ago. A really nice text the other day congratulating me and saying all the years he knew Dale, he didn't know that. And it's one of those things. I'm really proud of this because it shows there's still a place for the old school beat writer that works the beat, been around a long time, makes the connections, and, you know, you try to come up with a story you hadn't come up with before. And that's what happened here is I knew I had to do a story on Dale and probably, you know, Keen Ice and Brody's Cause and stuff going into the Breeders' Cup. Gosh, I've written a lot about, you know, Dale over the years, and I've written, you know, Keen Ice from the Travers. It's kind of like, okay, what's left? And Michael Clevenger, who's the co-winner of the photo Eclipse, he was doing the video that day, so he shows up and Dale's not there yet, but he shows up and he says, so what are we focusing on? I said, I don't know, but I got 15 minutes to figure it out. And he goes, oh, great, and rolls his eyes. And I'm watching, yeah.
You know how those Eclipse Award winners are.
And I'm watching Dale's horses walk around the shed row, and, you know, these well-bred, well, you know, gorgeous-looking horses, and I'm thinking, boy, Dale has come a long ways. Because when I first started covering racing, he was a kid working for his dad, and his dad certainly didn't have that kind of horses. His dad was very bright, but his dad also had another full-time job, and he, you know, in researching that story, Laura Hernan was, because she, you know, Dale's assistant now, I mean, does a lot of work for him. But she was a exercise rider and a, you know, just starting out as a jockey, and but she told me that Jerry, Dale's dad, would only train his horses every other day to save money. So this is what you know. So I was just thinking, I didn't know that at the time, but how far Dale has come. And so I decided that would be what we talk about. And so in doing the video, Dale brought up the dyslexia, which Dale and I had actually talked about before. In fact, we had talked about Derby time. I didn't know at the time I wouldn't be working for the Courier-Journal come the 2016 Kentucky Derby, writing an op-ed piece that he would talk about it, and I would put it together in, you know, with his name, and to send a message. We wanted to do it at a prominent time to children with learning disabilities, which he does not like that term, by the way. He thinks of it as learning differently, that you're not stupid, that you know, you are bright, and then just you learn differently, but there are things you have to overcome, but it can be done. So, so fast forward to tie a quick bow on this. He started talking about the you know, in the course of doing this video. And it was really good. But the key came, I think it was the next night, he called me about something else. And I said, oh, Dale, I meant to ask you. I forgot to ask you when we were talking. But Did you think you were stupid? I know this because I had a good friend who was also dyslexic, and he told me once about growing up and feeling that he's stupid. So I asked Dale that, and he goes, yes, I did. And then he went on to this other stuff that really became the heart of the story, including the lead. Dale Roman, you know, growing up thought he was stupid, and his mother refused to let him fall through the cracks.
How about some of the challenges that he's faced training horses and, you know, trying to read a condition
book? He clearly can read a condition book, that's for sure. And an overnight, yeah, that's for sure. No, his mom even said that's what helped him, you know, learn to read. Dale told me once, what book did you? He's really well read. He, you know, he would read big, long books just to see if he, just to show him
for
that he
challenge.
Could. Yeah. But it has impact. And Frank Jones, his longtime owner who had horses with Jerry, he talked about how it did impact him as a trainer because Dale, he has this outstanding memory that he's put to good use. And so he would just observe other trainers and what they did, and he would take some from this one and take some from this one and assimilate it and come up with his own style. His style is different than a lot of trainers are. You know, he's not big on being at the barn at 6 a.m., but he is very, very bright, and it works. It works for him, and clearly it works for his owners.
Well, he's an amazing trainer, I think. I mean, the races that he's won and the upsets that he's caused in
Keen Ice and the Travers. Yeah,
I mean, he's a very talented guy. And I used to be stabled next to his father in 1978 at Turfway Park when it was called Latonia back in the day. And he was Jerry Romans was stabled on the backside of us, and you know, I saw his horses every day. And of course, in those days, it was mostly $2,500 claimers. So you know, you look at horses like Shackelford, and you just there's a total difference. You know, that's one end of the spectrum to the other. So Dale has come a long way. I mean, certainly surpassed his dad, and you know, just. I have a lot of admiration for Dale, and whenever he comes on our show, he's such a great guest, and he has such interesting things to say. He doesn't give you the canned answer. You don't expect anything but canned from Dale.
Did you all hear Breeders' Cup when they did those? They had those interviews. They'd bring trainers in the Thursday before the day before the Breeders' Cup, and Dale came in and just on his own without any, you know, prompting or something. He went into this, you know, dissertation about immigration. And how, you know, we need these, and how hard these people, obviously, a lot of people working on the backside are immigrants. And let's face it, you wouldn't be able to run racing anymore without them. But it was just like, where'd this come from? And then people were saying, you know, joking about Dale for president.
And we'll put him on the ticket with Trump.
Yeah, oh, my God. Oh, no, he's a real Democrat. I can tell you that. Yeah. In fact, yeah, that I heard him telling somebody once that he was saying, oh, you need to run for office as, you know, someone in New York. And he was saying, then you need to get on a debate with Trump and ask him, what about you? You don't want these, you know, you want to put up this fence and keep immigrants out. Who built your hotels? You know, who maintains your hotels and stuff like that? That's a good point.
Yeah, that is a good
God, point. You never know on Equine Forum what the subject's going to be. And it's
just like Dale Romans.
Just like Dale Romans, yeah.
We actually had Dale on at the Breeders' Cup. He actually opened the show. He came over early. He was going to be the first guest, but he was there early. So yeah, he opened the show, and he did such a great job at it, too. It was really impressive.
I'll never forget his line when he said, this is trainer Dale Romans. I've hijacked the show.
He's great. And you know what? Before the Travers, he decided that you know, needed to do something with social media. And so he had this team, and they did it, you know, race day. Did they call it Race Day Live or something like that? But all day they were, you know, in periscoping and stuff. And of all the races, then the horse goes on and wins the Travers. But, you know, he was, you know, just – he just thought it's the kind of thing that the sport needs to do more of and really get people up close and personal behind the scenes.
How about the other – Eclipse categories tonight, Jenny. We mentioned you accepting your fifth, but there are several others that a lot of them were cut and dry. And as you know, Jude and I both have a vote as well. You know, Horse of the Year will be the big one, but there's no question it's American Pharoah. So a lot of these were very cut and dry.
Right. It's just a question of how many of them will be unanimous, including Horse of the Year. Believe it or not, I bet Horse of the Year is not because there's always some wiseacre that, you know, I'm waiting for somebody to vote for Golden Horn. because they thought he was the best horse in the world. You know, and then I'm thinking maybe that person needs to, because I do have, you know, there's not guidelines for the Quicksword.
If anybody votes against American Pharoah for Horse of the Year, they should never have a vote again. Their privilege right. should be revoked.
There's always some contrarian, though, that does it just to do it. But you'll be interested to see.
I mean, how ignorant.
And you know, three-year-old boys, yeah, those are, you know, the two-year-old things would be, to me, the closest one. There's two that are going to be really close, and three-year-old filly. I think that's going to be real close between Stellar Wind and I'm a Chatterbox. I don't really know that Found will get enough votes, but you never know. I mean, I think that probably a lot of votes got split. Look at the horses that didn't even make the top three. Carolina, I mean, the double grade one winner, right. And the really good grass filly of Chad Brown's.
Lady Eli. She was my top pick.
Mine, too.
Yeah. We had that happen in a couple of categories, right. Jude, where our right. top pick didn't even make the top three.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
our top
vote.
I don't know what people were thinking.
No. What was the other one? Oh, it was the filly and mare sprint.
Yeah.
Where we voted for
boarding.
And she didn't make the top three.
Right. Yeah. That's a tough category, too. I think I voted for Lady Shipman. Just, it's not her fault. I mean, she was in all the right races for a division, which is a turf sprinter. But that's a tough division. Older male. The only thing we know for sure with older male is that he's at stud at Lane's End, right? Because the three finalists are all there. Giving a shout-out to your sponsor.
There you go.
Okay,
nicely
now who's
done.
Who's at Adina Springs? We got to come up with an Adina Springs thing. But Beholder, that's got to be a near...
Yeah, that's
even though she did, you know, she wasn't able to run, but you know, after her big win in the Pacific Classic,
that was one of the
top five races I've ever seen in my life. I mean, for me, that was kind of a no brainer, and you know, she was just sensational that day.
Run Happy, that's, you know, he's got to be near unanimous for male sprinter. So male turf's another interesting.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that category up. That is an interesting category.
Yeah. Big Blue Kitten and the Pizza Man, and I'm trying to think of who's the
was it Golden Horn?
It was Golden Horn.
Yeah. Oh, him.
I think. What isn't it? Isn't it Golden Horn? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I just, you know, to me, you have to win a race.
Yeah.
I like to have you win more than. There are times, like in the female turf with Miaskidoma, that I have voted for a horse that only ran one time in this country, and maybe Arazi at the time, because that was such a big deal when he came over from France and won on dirt. But
that's interesting because if you look at the whole body of work. Now, Golden Horn is a nominee, right? So you have to look at the whole body of work and treat it just like any of the other nominees. And it's not his fault that he won all of his races over in Europe.
Right.
Right?
But it's North American champions, and he didn't win
in
North America.
Well, then he shouldn't even be on the docket.
He might be horse of the world.
Well, everybody's on the docket,
yeah,
right?
Why should he be eligible then if it's North American? He didn't win a race in
North
America.
But he ran.
Here we go. We got birthers now.
Yeah, let's see his birth certificate. Yeah. Where is he born?
But he
can't run for president.
I mean, I had a hard time in that category because I am a big Blue Kitten fan. I mean, I love that horse. I think he's one of the gamest horses that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, I thought that winning the Arlington Million and
the Pizza Man.
I mean, I thought he probably deserved it a little bit more.
That's really the way tough. I was going to vote for the Pizza Man, and then I ended up. I think Big Blue Kitten had one more grade one. I think that's what swayed me the other way. But the Pizza Man, I wanted to pull the trigger on him because he, you know, several years ago, he nailed Strike Impact in an allowance race at Fairgrounds.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the other category, the human category that's gotten a lot of debate on social media is the leading jockey.
Yes.
And Victor Espinoza, obviously riding the Triple Crown winner, is going to garner a lot of votes in that respect. But Javier Castellano had collectively a much bigger year,
and I think he gets it. I did vote for Victor. I just thought to not, you know, how many Triple Crowns have we seen destroyed because the jockey just, like, panicked and or just whatever, made some sort of error. And I thought, you know what, that counts for something. I mean, I did kind of a clean sweep with the American Pharoah camp.
Well,
but I have no problem with anybody that voted for.
I can see that. I actually went a different way on the jockeys because I felt like a guy who had a year that, to me, was a total out-of-the-box year was Joe Bravo.
Oh,
and every time the jocks went to a big race, you know, Kentucky Derby, Preakness, Belmont, whatever. Where, when all the jocks were out of town, Joe Bravo would chip in, ride all their horses, and he'd win on all of them. And I just thought, you know, this guy had a year that was sensational that maybe he wasn't supposed to have. You know what I mean? You're figuring, oh, Javier and Johnny and Rosario and Stevens, they're all going to ride these horses all the time. And here comes Joe Bravo, and he went up to Canada and rode to the third part of a Cassie entry and won that race. I mean, he just really, to me, he really excelled at his job last
year.
That's
an inspired selection. I like that. For apprentice jockey, I vote for Ashley Broussard. Because how many jocks do you see? Single mom, 2 months after having a baby, goes back to riding full time, and she finished in, like, I think she might have been, she finished
great
in the
story.
Top 10 of apprentice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
she got a vote for me. I picked her third. I thought
Tyler,
Eric Kinsell and Tyler Gaffalino.
Yeah,
I mean, they rode at the really big tracks against some tough competition, and that was a tough category. I mean, I thought all three of them, you know, had a look at it, really.
Yeah, it's interesting, and of course it'll all be finalized here this evening with the Eclipse Awards at Gulfstream Park. We're visiting with 5-time Eclipse Award winner Jenny Reese. I just love saying that. Has a great ring to it, doesn't it? You probably never get sick of hearing it, do you?
No, never.
well deserved. All right, how about this? So we have a few minutes left here, Jenny. Life after the Courier Journal now. You're a freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
You've left Courier Journal after how many years?
34.
34
mm-hmm.
years.
Yep.
What's it been like these past couple of months?
Wow. Well, I've been really busy. For one thing, I'm doing like about 10 years of deferred house cleaning that I put off for 10 years. That kept me really busy. But, you know, I'm pursuing a lot of different things. There's about 10 different entities that I'm doing work for, and I hope to be doing some work for you.
Yeah, some big announcements forthcoming here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll tease that a little bit. Stay tuned. Jenny going to be doing a few things with us. It'll be fun.
It'll be fun. And ultimately, what I really want to get into is communications and advocacy for the horsemen. I'm doing some work for the Kentucky HBPA, and I'm going to be doing a couple things for the National HBPA. I just, you know, if I wanted to do, I am doing like some, you know, journalism stuff. But if I wanted to do that on a regular daily basis, I wouldn't have ever left the Courier. I mean, I had a great job, and I owe everything to the Courier Journal, the opportunities they gave me. But this buyout offer came. It was just a time in my career where, you know, how much time I spent at the barn with my husband, Pat. I just decided I wanted to be part of the racetrack world more than I wanted to be part of the newsroom world. So, you know, I had a byline for a lot of years. I don't miss that. And I tell you what I really don't miss is in this digital age where there's really no break, that, you know, something happens at night and you're supposed to at least get something online. And just, you never get away from it. And I've really enjoyed getting away from that. You know, somebody texted me the other day and asked about a horse. A 2-year-old said the horse hadn't worked since the Breeders' Cup. And do you know what's up with it? I'm like, no. Normally this time of the year I'd be talking to, you know, all the trainers about their 3-year-olds and working on the big scouting report I did every late January, early February for the Courier Journal. And I'm not doing that this year. And that took a lot of time. And that's
Yeah, let me ask it this way then. What are you going to miss most about being around the game in that capacity?
Well, maybe some of the cool stories that come up, you know. Like you were talking about that breakfast, the Thoroughfan breakfast yesterday, and that was great. And I was thinking, with, you know, Tom Durkin's speech, thinking, you know what, I wish I had hustled this as an assignment to write for somebody because it was great. But then, you know, I realized I really didn't have time. Oh, another thing I just mentioned that I'm very excited about doing is I'm doing work for Oakland Park, advancing their 3-year-old races, and they're bringing me in for the Rebel and the Arkansas Derby to do fan-related stuff. You know, not media related, but like probably some sort of, you know, seminars and just talking to fans and do videos of fans. And I'm very
excited. You've kind of been reinventing yourself for a while. I mean, you were one of the few turf riders, I think, that originally embraced the digital age. I mean,
well, I had to stay employed. Yeah. No,
you've been on Twitter. You've got some, you know, interactive blogs and things. And I think that's a, you know, that more people should use you as an example of how to do your job, keep your job, and do a great job.
I think it's another tool. It's not the end-all, be-all. And I think I had this conversation with Jay Hovde with the Racing Forum that, you know, racing is really sort of banking on social media. It is a component. It is a tool, but it's just one. I still think that there's, you know, a place for the traditional media out there, including the fact that if you get something in traditional media, then you can tweet it out. But that reminds me of another gig I got going that I'm very excited about. I'm going to be part of the...
How many jobs do you have?
Well,
are you going to have time to do stuff with HRN?
I'm waiting. That's a one-shot deal. But I'm going to Vegas for the NHC, the National Handicapping Championship, to help them promote it. One of the things I'm doing is working with these great backstories of these qualifiers and contacting hometown media and trying to get, including, you know, I know you always do anyways, but I'm hoping that, you know, I can get credit for you having one of these people on your show next week.
Yeah, I think next week.
Yeah.
I would love to do it next Saturday. Yeah, I would love to do that next Saturday. One of the main players in the NHC
tournament. How about Jonathan Kinchin that's going for the $2 million bonus?
That's our guy. Mm-hmm. That's our guy. Hook me up with that interview next week.
Yeah, he was here at the party last night.
Oh, was he? Mm-hmm.
So he's here in town. So absolutely, I will.
Cool. Awesome. Jenny Reese, now retired from the Courier-Journal. She's
but
gonna
not retired
her.
From working.
No, she's not. Stay tuned. You're going to hear her name a lot through the Horse Racing Radio Network over the coming months. And looking forward to having her on board with some of the things we're talking about. Well, you'll hear more about that coming up shortly. And looking forward to seeing her tonight when she steps to the podium to accept her fifth Eclipse Award for that article on Dale Romans. Jenny, appreciate it. And,
well, it's always
so
fun. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. All right, good stuff, Jenny Reese, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to get to a break. We will come back with more and tell you about what's ahead for the remainder of the program. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Cara Conti, from the immediate family of champion sire King Mambo, winner of the Group 1 Grand Criterium at Tune, Cara Conti captured the sire-making French 2000 Guineas. A Breeders' Cup Mile winner in 132 and 4/5. Cara Conti posted the highest turf buyer of the year.
Cara Conti with a rush on the outside goes by them. Cara Conti and O'Dowd. Cara Conti.
Cara Conti, standing at Gainesway.
And they're off to New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Grade 1 millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by two-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sires a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile. Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giants Causeway, standing at Pen Oak Stud.
The fun never ends at Sam Houston Race Park. Saturday, January 30th, don't miss the richest race in Texas with the newly graded $400,000 Grade 3 Houston Ladies Classic. The Houston Racing Festival also features the $200,000 Grade 3 Connolly Turf Cup, Frontier Utilities Turf Sprint, and Space City Stakes with a low 12% takeout. Watch, wager, and win at Sam Houston Race Park. Platinum Partners Bud Light, Sam Houston Race Park. Buy your tickets at shrp.com today.
Make plans to be here at Santa Anita for a big three-day weekend as we've got special holiday racing on Martin Luther King Day this Monday. Saturday's main event is the 43rd running of the Grade 2 $200,000 La Cañada Stakes for fillies and mares at a mile and a 16th. As always, we offer free infield admission and parking via Gate 6 off of Colorado Place each weekend, including this Monday. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Verrazano, brilliant winner of six of his first seven starts, including the Grade 1 Wood Memorial.
And they're coming down to the finish, and it will be Verrazano!
And the Haskell, by a record 9 3/4 lengths, earning a buyer figure of 116, the highest of any three-year-old in 2013.
And Verrazano and John Velasquez have blown away their competition!
Verrazano, a great-looking son of More Than Ready, standing in Ashford.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Mashawish has taken the lead on the outside of Valid, who continues to fight
Mashawish drifting to the outside. On the inside, it's Valid. It's going to be Mashawish over Valid on the wire.
Mashawish and Valid finished 1-2 in the Grade 3 Hal's Hope at Gulfstream last weekend, making it an exacta sweep for Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro. And those powerful efforts by both Mashawish and Valid make them your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro sired 24 stakes winners in 2015, more than any other stallion in the U.S., including 12 graded stakes winners. Medaglia d'Oro has also produced 143 graded stakes winners lifetime, and recently had a season sell for $235,000 at the Thoroughbred Charities of America auction. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
But it's still General A-Rod and Wildcat Red turning for home together. And Top Billing is sent after them. They're into the stretch. Wildcat Red digs in. General A-Rod, Top Billing's got work to do. Final 16th. Wildcat Red, General A-Rod, Top Billing coming but too late. Here's the wire. It is going to be a head-bobbing finish, and it's close. Wildcat Red or General A-Rod. They were on the wire together in the Fountain of Youth. And then it was Top Billing, and East Hall was fourth.
Well, Larry Colmus with the call of that memorable Fountain of Youth for Wildcat Red. The Florida Bred is back in the Florida Sunshine Millions races later this afternoon here at Gulfstream. A much shorter race, though. He'll go in the Sunshine Millions Sprint for trainer Jose Garofalo. And, JT, we are really looking forward to seeing that horse do his thing because he is so tough, so gutsy, and so consistent.
Yeah, he's a really nice horse, and the private clockers have been buzzing about him. He's been working really good. We saw Jose yesterday at the Ten Palms Bar. He's all pumped up for the race, too. And so looking forward to watching old Wildcat Red. He's got a little competition there with XY Jet, who's been on a roll lately. It's going to be a good race.
He's Jude Feld. I'm Mike Penna. That's Pontiff and Barron with you on the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End. Don't forget, at Lane's End, Tonalist Mr. Speaker, Honor Code, and Liam's Map reinforce the power of the Lane's End Stallions. This 2016 roster builds on Lane's End's legacies, AP Indy, King Mambo, and Smart Strike, as the new crop joins the ranks of current leading stallions and current stallions standing at Lane's End, like Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, Mineshaft, The Factor, Union Rags, Noble Mission, and City Zip. The successful tradition of the 13-time leading stud farm continues, and it continues at Lane's End. You can visit lanesend.com to learn more. We were talking Eclipse Awards with Jenny Reese just a few moments ago. If you missed that interview or any of our interviews in the first half of the program, go to our website, horseracingradio.net. A podcast will be available shortly after we go off the air here at 10 a.m. Eastern Time with the Equine Forum. Jude, we're going to hear from Linda Rice here in a few minutes. She joined the Big A and the Little A, Anthony Stabile and Acacia Courtney, on Express Bet Radio this past week, and she talked about her filly and mare sprint contender, La Verdad, and some great things there coming from Linda. She explored different aspects, not only what it would mean if La Verdad were to win the Eclipse Award tonight, but she also talked about the decision by owner Sheila Rosenblum to pull her from the Keeneland sale and instead keep her and breed her to Medaglia d'Oro when her racing career is finished. And then she previewed what might lie ahead for La Verdad's little sister, Hot City Girl, who she has in training right now. So some cool stuff.
Yeah, well, Hot City Girl, very, very nice filly. And how lucky is that to be able to segue from one into the other if you're the owner? That's really unbelievable.
Yeah, spectacular. Okay, that's going to come up here in just a minute. But first, our Blood Horse News update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, American Pharoah's Belmont Victory voted the NTRA Moment of the Year. Big surprise there. American Pharoah wins the Belmont Stakes, and he will win the Moment of the Year. Of course, that was the first Triple Crown in 37 years when he pulled it off, and the result was announced yesterday morning during the 4th Annual Thoroughfan Awards Breakfast at Frankie's Sports Bar right here at Gulfstream Park. And fields line up for the LeCompte and the Silver Bullet Day. Louisiana's road to the Kentucky Derby kicks off later today with the $200,000 Twin Spires LeCompte Stakes, along with a sister race for the Kentucky Oaks hopefuls in the $150,000 Silver Bullet Day. And it's all there this afternoon at Fairgrounds Racecourse and Slots. And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. Don't forget to check out Blood Horse Daily, briefing you on important breeding, racing, and sales news. Sign up to have a PDF emailed to you in a daily newsletter, or download the app on your smartphone today. You can do it by going to bloodhorse.com/daily. And that's your Blood Horse News update this morning. All right, we mentioned Linda Rice joined the Big A and the Little A on Express Bet Radio earlier this week. You can catch Express Bet Radio every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon from 3 to 6 Eastern on Sirius 220 XM 206. And she started off by talking about what it would mean to La Verdad in her career if she were to win the Eclipse Award later tonight.
Well, it would certainly put the exclamation point on it. She's been tremendous for several years racing. She's had, she was just terrific last year. And then this year, she came back with such a powerful season. It's been just a thrill for both Sheila and I racing the filly. And difficult to send a filly off to the breeding shed that's been such a big part of your stable as well. Hopefully we'll find others like her in the future. But to send her away as an Eclipse Award winner, that was certainly maybe take a little bit of the sting out of it. It would be terrific.
It was really hard for Sheila to part with her. In fact, so much that she took her out of the November sale at Keeneland, and she decided to hold on to her, and she's going to Medaglia d'Oro now.
Yes, that's correct. Sheila was toying with the idea, should I keep her, should I breed her? This would be her first broodmare. It's not something that she's been involved with before. She's new to racing. She's been involved for about 4 years now. And, and I had encouraged her to put her in the sale as a business decision. And then when the time came, she would have to decide which direction she was going to go. But she had informed me a month, 6 weeks before the sale. She said, look, I just can't do it. I'm going to keep her. And so I knew she wasn't going to sell. And so we brought her back to New York after the Breeders' Cup and tried the fall highway, which didn't work out again. But then I kept her here. And, now that she's not being sold commercially, the breeding shed opens up February 16th in Kentucky, and we thought we would just keep her here until that time. Keep her under lights, of course, and maybe run her one more time in February at Barbara Fritchie in Maryland.
And that would be President's Weekend, correct?
Correct.
She just seems like she loves the racetrack and loves to train so much that she almost seems like the kind of filly that you could keep on the track forever.
Yeah, I told Sheila, I said, look, she asked if we could race her another year. And I told her we could, but I don't know if that wouldn't end up being a mistake. Sometimes you can get a couple, three, four decent races out of them, and halfway through the summer, June, you may be regretting that you didn't breed them, And so I think that we're both set on the fact that she will go to the breeding shed probably after one more start.
And you got little sister Hot City Girl as well, who, while La Verdad has really made her name here in the Big Apple, she doesn't seem too opposed to shipping. She went to Charlestown to win one in the middle of the night back in September down at Laurel. She had a pretty good trip out to California. How's Hot City Girl doing?
Hot City Girl's doing great. And interesting is that when Hot City Girl's just returning four, and at this time, La Verdad had only won a couple allowance races. We didn't race at all as a two-year-old. She's lightly raced as a three-year-old due to a cellulite infection that she got in a race with a cut. Mm-hmm. But she really hadn't accomplished that much until she turned four. So Hot City Girl has really done quite nicely for herself, and she was starting to show a lot of improvement maybe midsummer through the fall. And so I started shipping her out of town to different races. I had had her in the prior race at Saratoga, and she was in the one hole in about a 14-horse field with cavorting, and I convinced Sheila that wasn't the the spot for us and took her to Charleston. She won a grade three, so we, you know, were able to get that accomplished for her broodmare value as well. And since then, I took her to Laurel. I took her to California because of the grade one status out there. And she ran a nice race. We got a second place finishing. And so she's traveled quite a bit, but I intend on giving her a break this spring sometime. And I'm hoping that she responds to the vacation the way La Verdad did and comes back even, you know, a better horse than she is now.
Linda Rice visiting with Anthony Stabile and Acacia Courtney on Express Bet Radio. And Jude talking about La Verdad, touching on her full sister, Hot City Girl. And La Verdad up for the Eclipse Award in the Filly and Mare Sprint category here this evening. And certainly looks like she could be the one to walk away with the hardware later tonight because of that brilliant campaign she put together here in 2015.
Yeah, well, she's a very talented filly, and you know, it's been interesting. A lot of retirements this year, kind of the opposite of last year, and the trainers are all talking about how hard it is to give these horses up. I mean, and I totally get it. Nobody wants to see their stable star go away, but it sounds like Linda's doing the right thing. She's going to, you know, give her one more race and then off to the breeding shed and let Hot City Girl carry the ball for a while.
You know, Sheila Rosenblum, the owner of La Verdad, was on one of the panels that I moderated this past week at the Owner View Conference, and she talked in glowing terms about her filly. Let's face it, this is the best horse that she's had to this point in her very brief career of owning racehorses. And she talked in glowing terms, and you could, one thing that was evident with both, with Sheila, with Don Little Jr., who was on that same panel from Centennial Farms, and with Ken Ramsey, was their passion and their love of the horse. It, all three of those individuals, it just, they didn't even have to say that. It just, you could tell when they talked, and their body language, and the way that they perked up when they talked about one of those special horses. It was really kind of neat to see.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're talking three owners that, you know, operate at the top echelon of our sport, and you know, it's a game where if you don't love horses, then I don't even know why you'd be involved in it. It's all about the horse, and for those people, especially people who like to breed horses, you know, they're members of the family. You're with them from the time they're born, and you just want them to do well, just like you would your kids, you know. It's a great game, and I think that's one of the things that helps drive our sport is the fact that people are so super passionate about their horses.
One of the greatest awards acceptance speeches of all time, in my opinion, was the one that Tom Durkin gave at yesterday's Thoroughfan Brunch. That is coming your way in just about 6 or 7 minutes. Do not miss it. Spread the word. Tell all your friends. Sirius XM Channel 93 is where you can hear it. You can hear it on our website at horseracingradio.net. We're going to give you 6 or 7 minutes to get everybody together and get them latched on for this awards acceptance speech because it was tremendous. I think you're really going to enjoy it. We'll have that coming up shortly. Quick reminders, Saturday, February 6th, the Don Handicap. We will be sitting right here above the walking ring to bring you that coverage. That begins 9 consecutive weeks of broadcasts that we'll host from Gulfstream Park with our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. You can go to our website to see a complete schedule, listing of affiliates, Sirius XM information. All that stuff is there for you at horseracingradio.net. Now, on Sunday, February 28th, the Jockeys and Jeans event is going to be held right here at Gulfstream Park, and that's one that you won't want to miss. It's a benefit for the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network. I will be emceeing the entire event, so that's why you really want to come out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm trying to get people to come, so maybe I shouldn't even mention that. But it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be in the walking ring right here at Gulfstream. It'll be spectacular. So many top riders from the world of thoroughbred racing, both past and present, will be here. Hall of Famers galore. Some of the major supporters, of course, the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're a major sponsor of Jockeys and Jeans this year and proud to be a major sponsor. Stronach Stables and Frank Stronach and the Stronach Group. The Ocala Breeders Sales Company. Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners. Wrangler Jeans. So to be Tito's Vodka. All part of a spectacular evening on February 28th.
We're really looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun.
All right, we're going to get to another break. When we come back, you'll hear from the great Tom Durkin. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good Sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies, or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click Order Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made Click Order Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, order, eat. Jimmy John's freaky fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Jock Talk. An intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
Rosina Pravnik, welcome to the show. Not only did you have 110 wins, but you were also the first woman jockey to win the Louisiana Derby and the first woman rider to win the leading rider title. How did that feel to accomplish that?
That was really, I mean, it was unreal. To win the Louisiana Derby, you know, it was my first $1 million race. I was shocked when they asked me to, you know, ride in the Derby, in the Kentucky Derby. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening to me. It was all, I mean, that whole winter, that meet, the, you know, the Louisiana Derby, the Kentucky Derby, it was all whirlwind. I mean, it was all like, my life is starting now, and it was amazing.
Jock Talk, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 220 XM 206 and streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're coming to the top of the stretch. Smarty Jones is a four-length lead. Birdstone is moving to be second on the outside. Rock Hard Tennis back to third. And Smarty Jones enters the stretch to the roar of 120,000. But Birdstone is going to make him earn it today. The whip is out on Smarty Jones. It's been 26 years. It's just one furlong away. Birdstone is an upside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes. Smarty Jones was valiant but vanquished, finishing second. Royal Assault came on to be third.
Well, a valiant effort from Smarty Jones and a dejected Tom Durkin after failing yet again to have that opportunity to call a Triple Crown winner. And Tom has had so many unbelievable calls in his race and in his career. And unfortunately, Jude, all of his potential Triple Crown calls came at a spoiled Triple Crown. They never got to call one. And the man called so many great races, never got to call a Triple Crown winner.
Yeah, that was kind of a bit of hard cheese for Tom, but I think he...
It He was the honoree at the Thoroughfan Awards brunch yesterday here at Gulfstream Park, and I mentioned it was one of the greatest acceptance speeches. He actually walked through so many of those Triple Crown near misses that he had the chance to be part of, and it, believe it or not, he started with that very first one. His first opportunity to call a Triple Crown winner after becoming the NIRA announcer came with Silver Charm, and as he alluded to in his speech, maybe the greatest ride ever by Chris McCarron on Touch Gold to deny Silver Charm that Triple Crown, and that's where we pick it up with Tom Durkin accepting yesterday.
Ride Arkansas, given to a Touch Gold by Chris McCarron. I'm sure you kind of remember Real Quiet. 22 years in the waiting, this far in front of the finish line, and that far after the finish line, I get to call a Triple Crown winner, but and of course, Funny Side, one of my favorite horses. His owner, Jack Knowlton, back there. Hey, Jack, too bad about Funny Side. Charismatic comes into it, 40 yards from the wire. He gets injured. He would have won the Triple Crown. War Emblem, you remember him? War Emblem, who was a stone cold front runner. He would just go to the lead and you couldn't beat him. What happens? They open up the gate and he falls on his head. I was so sure that Smarty Jones was going to win the Triple Crown that year. As God's honest truth, the night before the Triple Crown, I went out. You know how those architects have those wheels that measure how far things are? I went out and I measured 31 lengths. A length, by the way, is 8 feet, 7 inches. I measured out 31 and I put a little mark of red tape on the fence at Belmont Park because I thought he was going to win by so much, he was going to beat Secretariat's record. I'd like to thank Stuart Elliott for forcing him to run the third quarter at a mile and a half race in 22 and 4:57. And then, of course, Ben Brown, he's running on a twisted shoe. He doesn't even finish the race. I'll have another. Fine. No, I'm not even going to run in the race. And then California Crown. Loser. So, I was supposed to keep on calling races through 2015. After California Crown loss, here's nine. I'm going, screw it. I'm out here. The minute I walk out of that booth, Larry Combs walks in and calls up. By the way, I will not recreate that race because Larry did a fantastic job. He was up for that test. So, if that's not enough evidence why I'm responsible for the Triple Crown. So, I'm at Belmont Park on the great day, and I can't stay. I've got to give a speech in Goshen, New York. So I stayed up through the Manhattan Handicap, and then I left. You know, and he wins the Triple Crown. So then I said, well, I better go see this horse when he runs. He comes to Saratoga. I go to the track, and he goes in. So then I go to Caitlin, and I went, I'm not going to break everybody's heart. I was there to the race right before the Classic. I got in an Uber cab and watched it at the Griffin Gate Hotel, and he won! This year has been an absolute wonder for me. I have gotten so many awards from so many kind people, so many wonderful and worthy organizations. The Turf Riders, the Eclipse Award of Merit, for goodness sake, the Jockey Club Gold Medal, and on and on. I had to put another addition on the damn house to put all this stuff in there. But there is no more meaningful award than this one I received this morning. Because if it were not for you, people like Bob Baffert, Victor Espinosa, myself, and tens of thousands of other people that have had the privilege to work in this sport, if it were not for racing fans, there would be no horse racing. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I thank you for it all. and I thank you for everything.
Our thanks to Molly McGill and her team with Grand Slam Social for that video and that audio clip that you just heard here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can visit GrandSlamSocial.com to learn more about them. And, of course, Michael Amo at Thoroughfan putting together an unbelievable brunch yesterday. And, Jude, I said it was one of the greatest acceptance speeches that I've ever heard. And Tom is so charismatic. He was a theater major in school. And it all came together for him yesterday morning.
Well, I'll tell you, it was very theatrical. It was very well done. I was so impressed. I was really blown away by the whole thing. And it was one of those things you had to be there. It was a really great moment, I thought. And what a fantastic way to look at it. And I didn't get a chance to talk to Tom afterwards, but I was going to mention to him that my wife kind of felt the same way, because she'd been going to every Triple Crown opportunity and had to go to a wedding on the day that American Pharoah won the Belmont. And so she was taking full credit. She even posted something on Facebook to Mr. Zayat that she was expecting a check, because that's the reason. But I can totally relate, and it's just one of those things in racing. But the greatest part of the story was having to leave before he wins the Triple Crown, and then going to Saratoga and having him lose. It's just amazing how that all works out and how many twists and turns life takes. But it was too bad for Tom that he never got that opportunity, but he's not the Lone Ranger in that regard. A lot of people thought they would never, ever see a Triple Crown winner. So anyway, he's had a great career, and I know it probably bugs him a little bit, but not too much.
He's doing okay.
He's
fine, and I know he would have loved to have had the opportunity to call that Triple Crown winner. And matter of fact, I sat down with him before the Belmont Stakes this year, and that was the question that I asked him. I said, how badly do you want this for Tom Durkin? And he said, well, no more badly than the other tens of thousands of people that have never seen a Triple Crown winner. They're going to be here to try to cheer on a Triple Crown winner. And it was just one of those things. And I said before, this year's Belmont Stakes was actually last year's Belmont Stakes when there was an opportunity. But just, he would have liked to have had it happen. It didn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's take nothing away from Bob Baffert, who stepped to the podium first. We don't have any audio from Baffert, but boy, was he tremendous again.
Yeah. He was talking about the fact that his wife Jill had won the Triple Crown before him. She was won three beauty pageants in a row, which was kind of clever. But it was a great morning, and really Thoroughfan did an excellent job putting that show and that breakfast brunch together. It was phenomenal. The food was great. The entertainment was outstanding. The speeches were excellent, and Acacia Courtney did a really great job of emceeing the show. So it was really a lot of fun for us.
And I think anybody other than Bob Baffert to win the Eclipse Award for leading trainer in 2015 would be a travesty later on tonight.
Yeah, I mean, geez, what do you have to do?
Yeah.
If you don't win for that, then you don't have much hope. So I think that's pretty cut and dried.
Yeah, well, a big night here at Gulfstream Park. It is the Eclipse Awards tonight. Of course, we have the Sunshine Millions races coming up this afternoon. The weather is absolutely spectacular. It's the first time in an entire week that we've been able to tell you that. But the skies are a beautiful shade of powder blue, and there is not a single cloud in the sky here at Gulfstream Park. The sun shining brightly on the palm trees. A fast main track expected in spite of all the rain that we had yesterday. The turf course may have just a little bit of give to it, but it's going to be a really great day of racing.
As of right now, the first race is off the turf. Daily Racing Form's Mike Welsh is reporting the first race is off the turf. The rest of the races are on the turf, and both the main track and the turf course are listed as good. So that's the most up-to-date information we have on what's going on here at Gulfstream Park so far.
And we come back at 3 o'clock Eastern time with our exclusive coverage of all those Sunshine Millions races. You'll want to make sure you join us for that. Again, 3 o'clock Eastern. Different Sirius XM channels, though. Mark it down. Sirius 213 and XM 203. That's Sirius 213, XM 203. Your home for the Sunshine Millions. That coverage presented by our friends at Edina Springs. And, boy, what a great day of racing it should be.
Yeah, it's great here. Fairgrounds has an excellent card. We got the LeCompte. They kick off their Derby trail today down there. Very interesting race. Lots of great racing around the country. Laurel's got a good card. Sanita, it's going to be fantastic.
Nothing good comes of deviation. The Steeler Polka did us right last week in Cincinnati. We're going to try it again in Denver tomorrow. Want to thank all of our guests for joining us. Cormac Brennick for being here from Edina Springs. Safi Joseph trying to win the Sunshine Millions Classic this afternoon. The trainer joined us in hour one. Jenny Reese accepting her fifth Eclipse Award this evening. And, of course, our thanks to Thoroughfan and everybody associated with that great acceptance speech by Tom Durkin that you just heard a short time ago. And Linda Rice for taking the time to join Anthony and Acacia on Express Bet Radio this week.
Yeah, it was a really fun show.
I'm not talking anymore. This is just beautiful.
And our listeners are thrilled about that.
Absolutely. Our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, in our Lexington studio. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. And, of course, go Steelers.
Night, Barbados.